Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Andy Halliday, owner at Andrew Halliday. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm okay, and yourself?
Yeah, very well. You're up in Doncaster, aren't you?
Yeah, that's correct. So yeah, up in the good old Yorkshire of England.
Good old Yorkshire, England. Right, Andrew, today we're talking about server logs, which is something I'm particularly interested in, because I know server data, the log data, can be quite difficult to interpret, and I've tried to make sense of it before. But just before we drill down into that, tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
So yeah, my name is Andy Halliday. I currently own my own small SEO agency and trade actually under my own name, Andrew Halliday, but looking to change that in the near future. I'm also employed by Provident Financial Group as their SEO manager, previously been an SEO manager at eBuy.com as their head of SEO and PPC.
Yeah.
And speaking at Brighton SEO for the first time this year on server log analysis.
So before we go into the meat and potato, let's just make sure we're all on the same page. Let's sort of define exactly what sort of server log data actually is.
Yep. Server log basically is every time somebody or some robot hits your website, it stores an event in your servers. It's a bit like Google Analytics in the fact that Google Analytics uses repeat, shows you what humans does on your website, where server log shows you everything. So how Google interacts on your website, Google bot that is, how Bing bot. So it's a lot more detailed than Google Analytics.
Yeah, that's the thing about server log data, isn't it? I mean, every single little request to your web server is basically logged, isn't it? And it's sort of trying to make sense of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically just a huge, huge database of every little activity that goes off by everybody and everything.
So in a nutshell then, why might we need server log data?
Why do we need it? Good question. Why would you need to... Basically, because even Google Search Console lies to you and doesn't actually tell you the true activity that Google does on your website. If you really care how Google interacts on your website, what pages it's crawling, when it's crawling them, how it crawls them, any errors, you actually need to delve deep into your server logs to get this data.
And how is that sort of... what are the ways to get hold of this data? How is it sort of stored on the server? How can you get hold of it?
Well, it depends how you're hosting. If you've got a small website, say a WordPress website, and you can get access to the cPanel, then it's pretty actually easy to get the raw data. I've got a video on my website showing it, but you can just go a few ticks and you can download the raw data. The tricky bit is this raw data is not very human readable.
Yeah.
Then you need a program to convert that into Excel. My preferred favorite is Weblog Explorer. It's pretty cheap. It's pretty reliable. You just basically say, import this data, tick the boxes, export to Excel. It's that simple.
Yes. And once you've got it in that sort of comma-separated format, it's quite easy just to put it in a spreadsheet. And
yeah,
it makes a bit more sense to a human that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. If you work for a large organisation, you might actually have to speak to the devs to get the data, because you probably don't have a cPanel.
Mm.
There's some specific columns you need to go to. I've actually got a page on my website. It's called What to Ask a Dev. If you go onto that, it'll say specifically what you need to request from the dev.
Yeah.
And they will tell you and they'll get you the data. Unfortunately, if you're using something like Shopify, if you've got an e-commerce platform, Shopify won't give you this data. I've asked them before to look into giving you it, and it's on their roadmap when you'll get the data. I don't know.
Mm.
Depending which CMS, there's quite a lot of ways of getting the data. If I haven't covered it above or earlier, just give me a shout and I will tell you how to get the data.
Now, you mentioned cPanel there, just to make sure that we all know, cPanel's one of these sort of standard sort of webby control panels, isn't it? If you sort of hire a server from someone like 1&1, you normally get a cPanel, don't you?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. So any hosting provider usually provides you with a cPanel to access and do whatever you want to on the server.
Now, of course, the tricky bit is once you've got this data, it's very sort of machiney, isn't it? But what can you sort of do with it once you've got it? How do you get sort of useful results out of it?
So, yeah, first of all, you need to put a few formulas in there, because even when it's in Google, in Excel, it's still not really human-friendly. I've got an example dummy of a spreadsheet on my site, which I'll share with you after. But, yeah, so you can basically just then filter by Google. If you've got time and you really, really care, you can look at Bing, Yahoo, etc. But for this example, it's going to focus on Google, because they deliver most of the traffic to your website. Basically, what you want to start looking at is simple things like 404s, where is Google finding errors. The good thing about this is it'll actually tell you which page. So if it's followed a link on your website, it'll tell you where the error is.
Yeah.
If it's come from an external source, it doesn't always give you that information, but it sometimes does, which can be useful. So then you either need to speak to the web design web agency to change the link. If you can't do that, at least put 301 in place to a relevant piece of content. 302s is another good example. Why people have 302s still on the website, I have no idea, but at least you can then see them. If it's a case of a link on your website, change the link. If not, change the line in your server config file to a 301.
Now, these status codes are interesting, aren't they? Because a lot of people get mixed up with these status codes. Because this is the code that the web server comes back with. So, and they're clumped together, aren't they, into like 400s, 300s, 200s. And the 200s are kind of basically mean everything was all right, pretty much, don't they? The 404s are, I couldn't find the page you were looking for.
Yep.
But the one that really throws most people is the 300s, the redirects, which means that sort of you've made a request to a page, but the webmaster has actually moved that page somewhere else. So it might come back with, is it a 302 or a 303? I forget which ones they are now. But can you remember which way around they are? Because the difference with redirects, aren't they?
301 is a permanent redirect, so that page is no longer. You're telling the webmaster, you're saying basically this website is never coming back. This page is gone.
Yeah.
So please divert it to here. A 302 is basically this page has gone down for a bit. It might be coming back. It might not.
Yeah.
So send them here for now, and if I change my mind and bring this page back, I'll put the other one back in. So 302s are not really that good. Just always use a 301 if the page is never coming back.
Fantastic. Okay, so you've got this spreadsheet, you're looking through, and you mentioned also that you're sort of filtering Google out. Now, presumably, the particular field you're interested in, is that the agent string?
Yes, it is.
That comes from the browser, which basically says what sort of browser or where it's come from. They're really difficult to interpret, those, aren't they? What's your experience with agent strings?
Yeah, that's why I have a nice little formula at the end that basically strips out all the rubbish, because it's a horrible long URL, and just puts, whether it's Google Ads bot, because obviously you have a different bot for that, Google Image bot, Bing bot, Yahoo bot, and then it's suddenly a lot easier to work out which bots. Even Mozbot, obviously Moz.com sends a bot out, so you can see their bot interacts on your website. You can actually see if somebody's tried hitting your site with, say, Screaming Frog, you can actually see when they've crawled your website.
Yeah.
So you can actually filter out by quite a bit.
Yeah, because they're funny old things, aren't they? They're just like strings of meaningless text.
Yeah.
You can tell they've really evolved over the years and sort of not evolved very well.
No, people just stuck another bit on the end and it's now just a huge line.
Yeah, so they need some interpretation. Now, there's a branch of errors which are particularly interesting, the ones that start with 500 errors. These are sort of like something's gone wrong with the website type errors, aren't they? What sort of ones to look out for there?
Yeah, 500 is service unavailable, so your website, well, when the bot came to crawl that web page or website, it couldn't get onto the website, usually your website is down. I think 503 is a temporary unavailable, going right off the top of my head, and you're saying, we know our website's down, it's down for maintenance, please come back later. So that's a kind of a nice way of telling Google, you know your site's down.
Yeah.
But when you actually dig into it, there's some others that are not well talked about in the industry. 508, yeah, and I'd never really heard of it until I started digging down into my own server logs.
508, okay.
Basically, it means a loop is detected. So basically, you're sending Google around in a loop and it's getting lost and dizzy. And basically, it's going to go, I don't like site anymore, I'm off. So
yes.
You're going to crawl your whole website and you're just going to, if your page's not crawled, they can't get indexed. If you can't get indexed, you ain't going to get no organic traffic.
Yes, I've seen that on RSS feeds. It's always fun when that happens to an RSS feed, actually.
Yeah, they just basically send it around in a loop.
Yes, it's an infinite redirect.
Yeah. But it's not good.
No, because it means no one can see your website, effectively.
Yeah, and they're so easy to fix. It's just usually a case of changing over one of the redirects, one of the links.
Yes. So it's essentially where you've redirected the URL to somewhere else, but that URL is redirecting back to yours, so you've got this like infinite loop thing going.
Keep back to the original.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you redirect into abc.com/A, then that redirects to B, but B redirects back to A. And it just goes round and round and round.
Now, there's another interesting code which is worth looking out for, isn't it? Was it it's a 405, I think, which is not quite a 404, not found. What does 405 mean?
It's the official thing is method not allowed. It's basically Google trying to do a... It's quite hard to explain. It's probably best off someone Googling it to get the full definition. But they are basically... Google can see the page, but it's trying to perform an action on the page and it can't quite perform the action. Is the best way of describing it.
Yeah, because these are the verbs, aren't they, that the HTT protocol supports. These are the get, put, and the post verb. So presumably you're using the wrong verb, or someone's using the... They're doing, say, a put or a post on something that should normally be a get, I'm guessing, with that one.
Yeah, something like that. Or they're trying to... I've seen it before where they're trying to log into an area and obviously what can't log in because it hasn't got an email address and a password. So it's just things like that. It can happen there as well.
We've been, at my other job that I do, that I often talk about, we've been building a sort of a platform based on lots of microservices, which are separate. And I was just wondering if you'd had much experience in collecting logs from systems that are distributed in that way. Like we've been using, I think we were using log entries at one point. These are just methods of grabbing logs from lots of different servers and putting them all in one place so you can see them and search them. I just wondered if you'd had much experience with those, or do you normally just go for the sort of grab the logs and put them in a spreadsheet?
Grab the logs and put them in a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I suppose that's the more simple thing to do. Yeah, we use log entries, which we didn't find that useful because it was quite a clunky interface. But we ended up using something called PaperTrail, or PapaTrail, as my friend Pedro would call it. It is called PaperTrail. And that wasn't bad, actually, because it lets you search the logs. But it doesn't let you... I mean, you still have to be quite techy. You still have to sort of know what you're looking for. You can't sort of analyse them the same way that you were describing with a spreadsheet and using that tool. Are there any other tools that you know of, Andy, that you could use to interpret the logs?
There's a few. I just use Web Log Explorer. That's my favourite.
Yeah.
I've used a few over the years. I can't remember the names off the top of my head, but once I found a tool that I like, I usually stick with it. It does what I need it to do. Excel's my king. I was a data analyst back in the day, so Excel and data is my forward, so it's all about Excel. But there are tools out there, you are right.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for coming on the show. I mean, server logs are a tricky thing, but if you know how to interpret them, you can get a lot of good information out of them. Just before we go, tell us how our listeners can find out more about you.
Yeah, so I'm fairly active on Twitter. It's just @AHalliday on LinkedIn. I'm probably more active, actually, so if you just search for me, Andrew Halliday. If you just mention that you've heard me on this podcast, I'll accept you. Or just head to my website, andrew-halliday.co.uk.
And on Twitter, that's AHALLIDAY, isn't it? Halliday.
Yeah, that's correct.
Halliday. Perfect. Thank you. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/impodcast. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We're very pleased to get reviews. So please, if you feel that way inclined, give us a review because it helps us sort of grow the audience and it helps us to get the word out there. If you want to connect with me personally, I'm Dr. Pod, DOCTORPOD. That's my name on Twitter and LinkedIn if you want to find me. Just mention the IM podcast so I know that you're not a recruiter trying to recruit me for development roles. And that's it. There's two ways you can get in touch with us. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk, and we have a telephone hotline if you want to leave a sort of verbal message or a question or a voicemail to us. It's +44 1273 256 150. So that's all from me, Andy, and that's all from the other Andy.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.